Now, Freemasonry. Let's look. We were looking at a few moments ago the principles, which I was saying to you again, are the center of gravity of any of these institutions is the principles. Hold on. You got one of those, did you? There you are. Okay. Oh, you did. You've got one. Have you got one? Okay, whatever. Okay. The evil principles, the foundation, which is naturalism, which is the exaggeration of nature. Rationalism is the exaggeration of reason. Liberalism is the exaggeration of liberty. So naturalism is the exaggeration of nature to the point of denying any supernature. There's no God above the realm of nature, and there's no authority above nature. So nature is its own authority, meaning man is his own authority, meaning man is king, man is God. Man is king of the castle, get down, God, you dirty rascal. I'm afraid that's what it amounts to. That's naturalism. So, and it escalates, we were saying. And that's a very important point. How all truth is a coherent block, and if you just unstitch one part of it, the rest will come undone. Therefore, even just to disregard the Catholic Church is to lead ultimately to what you've got today, people denying that there's any natural truth, that there's any truth at all, the denial of objective truth. That's the point that minds have reached today, and it's a pretty desperate point. And so all natural truths, let alone supernatural truth, even just natural truths, and finally objective truth itself falls into ruins. Notice where the Pope says that's paragraph 18. It's quite a short paragraph. He would definitely expand that paragraph today. When this greatest fundamental truth has been overturned or weakened, it follows that those truths also which are known by the teaching of nature must begin to fall, namely, that all things were made by the free will of God the Creator, that the world is governed by providence, that souls do not die, that to this life of men upon the earth there will succeed another and an everlasting life. In other words, natural religion, then natural truth is ruined. And the point is reached today, even beyond 18, which is why I've added it in diamond brackets. The point is reached today that even 2 and 2 of 4 is denied. So, we move on to the evil practice. Well, I was saying that 1920, 21, 22, 23, that's like a portrait of today's world. The marriage, the family being destroyed, the children being miseducated, natural sin being denied, all kinds of immorality breaking out, politics, the liberty, equality, and fraternity, and the godless state in 22, 23. Let's have a look at 22, 23. Then come their doctrines of politics, in which the naturalists lay down that all men have the same right and are in every respect of equal and like condition. We hold this to be an inalienable truth? No, we hold this to be an evident truth that all men are born equal and so on and so on. That's liberalism. Men are born equal before God, but in no other respect are they equal. They come from the same God, they have the same human nature, and they answer to the same God at the end of their lives, but that's the only way in which they're equal. Otherwise, they are unequal in color of eyes, color of hair, in weight, in intelligence, in sex, in race, in province, in region, in family, in everything else, they're unequal. And to say that they're equal is just nonsense. To keep on hammering that they're equal is just nonsense. So, the doctrines of politics, in which the naturalists lay down that in every respect of equal and like condition, that each one is naturally free. Naturally free. Well, we have free will, yes, but every one of us born with his free will severely handicapped by original sin. We're not that naturally free. That no one has the right to command another. Well, that's again, you see, a dogma of modern life. But it's not the way the centurion behaved. Lord, I am a man under authority, and I'm used to telling people to do, and he does, and go, and he goes, and if you want to tell me whatever, you tell me whatever. That's natural. To give orders and to receive orders, to be part of a hierarchy, that's natural. And our Lord praised the centurion for behaving like that, because it's perfectly normal to behave like that. And that's what made the greatness of Rome. And funnily enough, that's what made the greatness of America. Imagine if the American army had operated on the American military had operated on the principle that we're all equal and no one gives orders.
The American military operate on the principle that there are people that give orders, and that's what made the American military work. According to this, therefore, all things belong to the free people. Power is held by the command or permission of the people. We the people. First words of the American Constitution. And you may remember the declaration up in the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. We hold it to be another evident truth that if the people want to throw over the government, then since the authority of the government comes from the people can throw over the government whenever they like. That's not Catholic. It's absolutely not Catholic. But it is Thomas Jefferson. So that when the popular will changes, rulers may lawfully be deposed. That's exactly Thomas Jefferson, and the Pope is condemning it. The source of all rights and civil duties is either in the multitude or in the governing authority when this is constituted according to the latest doctrines. It's false. It is held also that the state should be without God, separation of church and state. That in the various forms of religion there is no reason why one should have precedence of another, and that they are all to occupy the same place. That's the First Amendment. So that's what they teach in politics, and it's exactly the American system, the American way. Communism, the sequel. That these doctrines are equally acceptable to the Freemasons, because there was a large number of Freemasons amongst those who made the American Constitution, as the Freemasons themselves boast. You can go to New York and pick up a little pamphlet on how many Freemasons took part in the making of the American Constitution. That they would wish to constitute states according to this example and model is too well known to require proof, and they've been doing it ever since the United States was the first and most glorious of the Freemasonic states, but they've been imitating the United States all over the world ever since, thanks to the power of Freemasonry. And then they will come and tell you that America is a Christian country. No. America is a half-Christian, half-Masonic country. You could say more Masonic than Christian, because the Masons were the ones that set it up, basically. And the Christians, as Christians... If you want to say that the United States is a Christian country, as long as you say that it was half and half, and the Christian part was on the way down, while the Masonic part was on the way up, that's true. There was a Christian heritage amongst the gentlemen that made the Constitution, but it was only a heritage, and it was on its way out. And what was on its way in was the Masonic ideas, and the liberal ideas do not mix with the Christian ideas. They're directly opposed. They would wish to constitute states according to the Islamic model. For some time past, they have openly endeavored to bring this about with all their strength and resources, and in this, they prepare the way for not a few bolder men who are hurrying on even to worse things in their endeavor to obtain equality and community of all goods by the destruction of every distinction of rank and property. That's communism. And when communism broke out in Russia, of course, a lot of Americans rejoiced because the tyrannical Tsar was at last being overthrown, and that's the most natural thing in the world for Masonic people to do, is rejoice when a ways back religious Tsar gets the boot. Because the Tsar was originally religious, of course, Russian Orthodox, not Catholic, but there was religion. But again, these Tsars were not giving that religious leadership. The Tsars and the Russian aristocrats were not giving that leadership, which the people put them in originally to do, or which they were really originally to do. And therefore, which the people expected them to do and needed them to do. And so the people said, get lost. And that was the people rising up against the middle class. Well, in Russia, of course, it wasn't just the middle class. It was still the aristocracy and the king that they were rising up against. It's still the same basic pattern. So, and there then, with everything to rank and property. So 23 is Freemasonry paving the way for communism. Now, of course, there are some decent Freemasons who resist communism, who don't like communism. But that simply tells you that men are contradictory. A decent Freemason is a contradiction in terms, but they exist. How can men be contradictory? Because they don't know what they're doing. They can believe opposite things without realizing that they're opposite. They think it all fits together. It doesn't. But they think it does, and so they believe. That's why you've got a lot of Americanist Catholics. And you still got them. And they clash with the society, and the society clashes with them. Notably the Birches, the John Birches. They're honorable men in many ways, and they love their country. And they're not to be mocked for their love of their country. But when they think that Catholicism should be fitted to their idea of patriotism, rather than their idea of patriotism fitted to the real McCoy Catholicism, they're wrong. And unfortunately, their Catholicism is harnessed to their patriotism and not the other way around. And that's deadly. You can't do that. Our Lord does not enter into anybody else's combination. It's not the way he operates. As I always say, with our Lord, it's like with a girl in Oklahoma. I'm very fond of quoting the Divinity Note. With me, it's all or nothing. Do you even know that song? No half and half romance will do. She's trying to get her boyfriend to behave himself. But the principle is the same with our Lord. No half and half romance with our Lord will do. It's all or nothing with our Lord. And it's all or nothing with Satan. And if you occupy some position halfway in the between, either our Lord is going to pull you up or Satan is going to pull you down. Satan will pull you on down or our Lord will pull you back up. But you won't stay where you are. You're going to go up or down. That's the rule of life. Just like anybody out in the middle of a river is either going to row upstream or he's going to drift downstream. He's not usually going to stay where he is. So, the Freemasons are paving the way for the total destruction of rank and property, which is communism. We then get 24 to 29, the Pope's verdict on Freemasonry. It's folly and it's danger. Neo-paganism. This worse than repaganizing of the individual, family, and society is criminal folly. The world is turning pagan again, under our eyes. You know, in Mexico, they're now glorifying human sacrifice again. And if there isn't already human sacrifice taking place by night on the top of those Aztec pyramids, I'll bet you that soon there will be. That's what they've got in mind. Away with the Hernan Cortes, away with the conquistadors, away with Spanish culture, away with Catholicism. We're getting back to our native religion. In California, in San Diego, or one of those places, they recently put up a statue to Quetzalcoatl, or, you know, the name of one of those Mexican gods. Anybody know the name of him? Anyone know the Californian city? But Quetzalcoatl, or a name like that, it's a very...
Quetzalcoatl.
And you know the city in which it happened? They put up a statue to him, I'm quite sure. And you know, the Wicker Witches, and the Catholic nuns are all becoming witches, and, you know, joining covens. It's
Well, in South Dakota, our bishop there, Bishop Chaput, encourages the Indians to bring their culture to the Catholic Church,
yeah,
and the Catholic Church can be renewed.
Yeah.
So they do a powwow dance.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And it's encouraged by Rome, because Rome is full of Freemasons. Freemasons under a misguided Pope. The Pope is gravely misguided. I remember asking Archbishop Lefebvre way back in about 1976-77, did he think that Pope Paul VI was the Freemason? I was walking, you know, up and down a beautiful Swiss little stream, alongside a lovely Swiss stream. And I remember asking that question. He said, it doesn't need to be. I don't think Paul VI is a Mason, and I don't think he needs to be. Whether he is or isn't, I don't think he is, I think he said. And whether he is or isn't, he doesn't need to be, because in any case, he's filled with Masonic ideas, and that's all the Masons need. In fact, it's better if the Pope isn't a Mason, just as long as he's filled with Masonic ideas. Because if he was a Mason, one, the documents could come up one day to prove that he is, and that would be bad news for the bad guys, because they're children of darkness, and they don't want to be revealed for what they are. Two, if the Pope himself knew that he was a registered Mason, he couldn't act with that sweetness and innocence which is so appealing to Catholics. He couldn't put on such a good show of goodwill in public. So I don't think John Paul II or Paul VI are directly Masons. I don't think. I can be wrong. Who of us knows just how perverse human beings can be? None of us knows. Only God knows just how perverse human beings can be. But in any case, the Archbishop's answer is the true one. This is not. It's not basically a question of persons. And the question whether these men are actually Masons or agents of the KGB or this or that or the other or spies or anything, it's a secondary question. In any case, what we've got is the public words and the public acts which demonstrate that the thinking of Paul VI and John Paul II is way off track, way off track. Poor men. You know, I mean, poor men is a charitable way of saying that. They're very much to be pitied, because they're going to have a terrible judgment. They're going to have a terrible judgment. They may save their souls. But boy, they're going to have a hot little corner in purgatory in order to pay, surely, I mean, God is their judge and not ourselves, but surely they're going to have a very stiff purgatory if they escape hell because of all the evil that's been done to the church on their watch. And they ought to have known. And all the time, God can't abandon his Catholic Church. Therefore, logically, God, the Lord God, must all the time be giving to these popes sufficient graces for them to realize what they're doing. If they're being given sufficient graces and they're not doing what they're, then they're refusing those graces. Therefore, they're to be blamed. To say that they are ignorant or foolish is not to excuse them. It's a very grave blame. But they are blind. They really are. The Pope John Paul II really is blind. Interesting pages in Windswept House on the Pope, trying to explain his blindness, or trying to give some account of his blindness. Not even a justification, but to try to give some account of it. And he doesn't really manage. He doesn't really manage. On the contrary, there's some very clean and healthy young American priest who's constantly hammering. He's got an old Dominican Irish friend, and he keeps the two of them, both of them are priests. You know, Father, why is the Pope like this? What's he doing? He's destroying the church. Quiet down, my dear boy. You know, cool down. You know. And then the old man tries to explain. But the old man's explanations don't really explain. And the questions of the young, clean priest remain unanswered questions. And at the end of the book, the question is still unanswered. It's an interesting book. I was going to read to you one or two pages, maybe, especially about the process and why the cardinals can be masons. It's published by Doubleday. Doubleday, yeah.
We're all guilty of not cooperating with grace.
Oh, sure we are.
And the clergy are not exempt from that. And I think the laity tend to think the clergy are exempt from non-cooperation.
Ah, that's, yes, the Catholic laity naturally think well of their clergy. At least they used to. They used to think well of their clergy.
I think the Pope cannot cooperate with God's grace to send us everyone else here.
Yes, that's right. That's right. He is capable of not cooperating, yes.
There's a general zeitgeist, the spirit of the time.
Spirit of the age, yes.
And that has a tremendous force on all of us.
Yes.
Some cannot escape at all.
Yes. So, the re-paganizing of the individual, of the family and society is criminal folly. For instance, 25, democratism. That the people may withdraw their civic obedience, in other words, their obedience to citizens, when they like, is completely false. Well, that's exactly what Thomas Jefferson taught. So the Pope is saying Thomas Jefferson is wrong. Thomas Jefferson would have said the Pope is wrong, but they can't both be right, that's for sure. Similarly, to impose artificial equality all round when men are naturally unequal is wholly unreasonable and it results in absurd misfitting. By promoting these errors, danger, Freemasonry is favouring the overthrow of all things by communism and socialism. In truth, Freemasonry has deluded the rulers and it has deceived the people, turning them all against Freemasonry. That's this whole process. Freemasonry bears a huge responsibility for this downward swing of Christendom. It's plays a very large part. You see, if you looked at the modern world, a lot of people look at the modern world, a lot of sort of Hollywood-thinking people and television-watching people, they look at the modern world, they say everything's nice and sweet. You're saying it's all a conspiracy and it's all dark and it's all doomed. It couldn't be. Who would do that? And what motive would they have for doing that? Why would anybody be wanting to push the whole world into the arms of the Antichrist? Answer, the Freemasons. Because the Freemasons want the rule of man, the glory of man. They want the deification of man. To make man into God is the bottom line. The upswing of the church wants to make God into God and put God in, make Christ the king of all society, the king of the world. But God allowed and designed to allow that from then on the wickedness of men would have, after God being shown to be God, the wickedness of men would want to replace God by man and make man into God. And the bottom line of a great deal of all of this is the deification of man. Man is God and God is nowhere. You will be like gods, and Freemasonry promises to make men into gods. Like the devil promised to make Adam and Eve into gods. You will be like gods if you eat the apple. Go right ahead. You will be like gods. You will be gods if you go our Masonic way. So men buy it. In truth, Freemasonry has deluded the rulers and deceived the people, turning them against Christianity, whereas in fact, peace and concord depend upon the Catholic Church and upon the rejection of Freemasonry. Why does peace depend upon the Catholic Church? Because the main obstacle to peace is sin. Sin is an offense against God. And God has determined that there's one and only one way of overcoming sin, and that is by his sacraments and his sacrament of confession, which comes through his church. And the true God, as you and I know, has only one church and only seven sacraments of that one church, from one incarnation. God took flesh once and only once. And when he took flesh, he founded one church and only one church. That's the true God, the true church. And the rest is lies. So how can you possibly have peace amongst men by shutting out the true God and the true church? If peace was simply a manner of pushing around bricks or shifting water or something material, well then you could have peace without the Catholic Church. But since peace depends upon men's hearts, in which peace is fouled up by sin, then in order to establish peace, you've got to deal with sin. There's only one way to deal with sin, and that is the way of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the only way to establish peace in the world is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, only the Catholic Church can give peace. And when the poor Holy Father goes around saying, let's just fix up the United Nations, let everybody join the United Nations, and that will give us world peace, he's off the wall. It's only the Catholic Church can give peace to the world, because our Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And it's not the Secretary General of the United Nations who's the Prince of Peace. He's the tool of the One Worlders and the Freemasons. Because the United Nations is a thoroughly Masonic organization. It's absolutely part of the whole wicked game plan. Conclusion, remedy. Notice again, 30 to 33, the first is the remedy within the church, secondly the remedy amongst the laity. Hence we reiterate everything the previous popes have done and said against Freemasonry. 31, the first thing is the duty of the bishops. If the bishops will straighten up and do their duty, then the church will straighten up. If the Catholic Church straightens up, mankind will straighten up. The Catholic bishops are the very heart of the problem. Bishops tear the mask off Freemasonry. Show it for what it is. Don't let the mugs and the media pretend that it's really a nice guy's organization. Allow no man to belong to it. Well, that's exactly what I'm telling you. When the new code of canon law came in, it's quasi-allowed for Catholics now to be Freemasons. It's delinquent, crazy. They don't know what they're doing. Give the people sound instruction in their religion to immunize them against these wicked errors. Teach the people what Freemasonry really is, so that Catholics won't even ask whether they can belong to it. They will know darn well. Even if they fool around in Rome, Catholics will still know that they can't belong to it. Form your clergy. So bishops, teach, unmask the error, teach truth, and then form your clergy. And co-opt the laity so that together they know, love, and defend the Catholic Church. Then he's got three more practical ideas. Let the Franciscan tertiaries be encouraged to love and to practice Catholic liberty, Catholic equality, Catholic fraternity. As Chesterton said, liberty, equality, fraternity are three Christian ideas unhooked from Christ and which therefore turn crazy. But they're originally Christian ideas, and they can be, if you attach them to Christ, liberty in Christ means you will keep the Ten Commandments, no problem. Equality in Christ means you know perfectly well that you're going to be equal in a judgment seat of God, but between now and then, he may well be the boss and you may be the servant. But once you go beyond the judgment seat of God, it may be the other way around. Philip II, well, there was a religious in Spain who died as soon after the death of King Philip II, and he was a perfectly ordinary little religious monk or something. And he appeared to somebody, he said, I am as high above King Philip in heaven as he was high above me down on earth. Rank, you know, when you believe in eternal life, rank, title, position, importance in this life have no meaning, have no weight. Whereas if you don't believe in eternal life, then rank and importance and position in this life is all important. And then everybody in the airport has to be a skycap. And everybody that goes round on the refuse wagons has to be a chief refuse collection inspection officer or superintendent officer. a refuse collection captain, or, you know, I mean, everybody has to have some big, big title, because otherwise he's not going to feel good about himself. And then you call everybody a sky cap. Everybody becomes a captain, and what happens? The word becomes meaningless. Because everybody knows that a sky cap simply means a jerk who pushes around lorries and drives the little electric carts at the airport. Everybody knows it. And anybody with common sense doesn't therefore despise a sky cap. But the process of calling sky caps the simplest little guy on the, you know, is absurd. And all it does is to debase the word. The word captain then has no further meaning. And when you've got a real captain, you have to call him a superintendent captain. Then all of the ones that aren't superintendents will insist on being called superintendents. So in a few years on the airports, they're all going to be sky superintendent caps. Just wait. Would the sky superintendent cap please come to gate number 5? You're going to hear about it. Just wait and see. And so you've got a constant, because of the denial of the facts of life, you've got a rolling debasement of the words of language. If you try to use language to cover over reality, it's reality that's going to win, and language that's going to take a hit. And language is just taking a hit all the time. Things must be called what they are. They defend the church. Let the Franciscan churches be the practice Catholic liberty, equality, fraternity. Let working men's guilds guide them in religion, guard their interests, and shield them from fraud. So the Pope wants to recreate working men's associations, not trade unions, not socialistic trade unions, but associations which will help to protect the workmen from being exploited by the capitalists. Above all, guide and guard the young from any Freemason instruction or membership. Whereas, of course, the Freemasons have the demolos in order to get to the children, to get to the young boys, and pull the boys in. Demole is for the boys, and is it the rainbow girls for the girls? Is it? I don't know. Job's daughters, is it for the girls? You know, I mean, the Masons try to pull in the youngsters, so.
Isn't the group name the public schools?
Let us then all pray God and unite our efforts to repel this overwhelming danger to mankind. With my papal benediction to all, 1884. So, quietly on your own, we've galloped through it, but Read it on your own. It's very clear, not very difficult, and, you know, it's just the fact of life. That's reality. Let me now read you, in connection with Freemasonry, a few pages of Maliki Martin, because this is how he he talks about the Slavic Pope, who is, of course, John Paul II. And then the Slavic Pope is his principal aide in the Vatican is a Cardinal Maestriani, who I guess is, it's not Ratzinger. Ratzinger comes in under a different.
Or something like that.
Yes, Reinfen. Cardinal Reinfen is Ratzinger. Yes, soon as he's there. Oh. But Maestriani, I think that's Casaroli. I think it's Casaroli. Yeah, I think so. Any case, Maestriani understood above all that this pontiff was still loaded down with all the old Roman Catholic images of Christ's divine kingship, Marian queenship, the fixed triad of hell, earth, heaven as man's destiny. This pope still thought of the force behind the forces of history as the hand of Christ, as king of the human race, as well as savior of that race from sin and hell's punishment for sin. That's what we've been talking about, Christ the king. Okay. Cardinal Secretary Maestriani did not see himself as having abandoned or betrayed his Roman Catholicism. Rather, he saw that his own original faith, the old-fashioned Christ the King faith, acquired in the now crumbling bastions of the old church, had been purified and enlightened because it had been humanized. See? Man put in the center. It's been humanized. It had been made real within the concrete circumstances of the 20th century. See? It's well said. So much of what he had once simply taken for granted had been overloaded with elements that merely came from the various cultural periods in the church's history. Such baggage-laden concepts had nothing to do with present reality. We're living in the 20th century, man. Nothing to do with the process, capital P. That's the process of history. That's the process of history, which we've got to join and mold and help to influence instead of simply stamping on the brakes. Now, however, he had come to understand history and the salvation of mankind in a way that he knew the Slavic Pope would never grasp. This is the Masonic salvation. Now he understood that such concepts as still guided the Slavic Pope should have no influence, not even the slightest manifestation, in the workings and administration of the church. That is how these churchmen think. It's very well described, and Maliki Martin should know. For the true role of the church, as Maestro now understood, was as one player in a vaster evolution. It's exactly it. The church is just one player. You've got the United Nations, you've got the United States, you've got the European Union, you've got Russia, and you've got the Catholic Church, and you've got the Protestant churches, and you've got Mohammedanism, and they're all players that need to get together in the great evolution of mankind. One player in a vast evolution, a vaster process than the Slavic Pope seemed able to encompass. A vast process, always capital P, and a very natural one. Natural one. Natural. Remind you of something? Naturalist, naturalism. The great natural process. The triumph of nature over supernature. Getting rid of this false supernatural stuff and re-establishing nature, which is man. Man is God. That's it. A vast process, a very natural one, that recognized the fact that all the woes of the human family were caused in the first place, not by some primitive notion called original sin, but by poverty and want and ineducation. A process that would last clear humanity of those troubles, and so would ultimately harmonize the spirit of man, God, and the cosmos. When the process was fully accomplished in the new political order of mankind, then would the church be one with the world. And then everybody will be Catholic. It's exactly what this Pope John Paul II is thinking. For only then will the church take its proud and rightful place as part of the human heritage. And the Pope John Paul II is pushing to get the church back into the media, back into the front, back into the limelight, back into... That's not what our Lord wants or asks for. As a stabilizing factor in the new world order, as a true and bright mirror of the untroubled mind of God. That's what these people think. Still more did the Cardinal regret that in this final decade of the 20th century he had to deal with a backward-minded Pope who had no grasp of the true force behind the forces of history. Because the Slavic Pope is still caught up with all that old heaven and hell, Christ the King stuff. There's another page on the process. He talks about Elihu Root, who was an American layman, very important in about the 1920s, 1930s, an agent, John J. McCloy, Henry Kissinger, Henry Stimson. It's a roll call of those prominent American laymen who were most likely Masonic, or if they weren't Masons, they were Masonic, who were building the new world order back in the 1920s, 1930s. Quote, Root was unique, Elihu Root, that's an American who would, anyone know when Elihu Root died?
He was Secretary of State in 1900, the open road policy in China and stuff.
Yes, he would have died about 1940, 1930, yeah. He was unique in his appraisal of the process, capital P. For that appraisal brought him to the conclusion that the ultimate goal of the force of history, the goal of the force behind all the forces, was the goal of a truly one-world economic and financial governing system. Root saw that there is no other basis on which all nations can come together. He didn't have the Catholic faith, and too few people around him had the Catholic faith. He was part of this Protestant, Calvinist, materialistic, Masonic tradition. And therefore, in that tradition, when you're born and bred in that tradition, you can't imagine the Catholic Church has any important part to play. But the Catholic Church, having broken down because people have lost the faith, mankind isn't united. It used to be united by the Catholic Church. And mankind has a hankering for that unity, and it wants to remake that unity. If you're born and bred in the non-Catholic tradition, you don't dream of the Catholic Church making that unity, and you want to recreate a non-Catholic unity. Yeah. 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 Root said that one of the reasons for the Americans to annex the Philippines was to Christianize them. The Philippines is the one Catholic nation in the whole of Asia. The Philippines is, of all the nations of Asia, it's the one nation that least needs Christianizing. But that's the one that the American says needs Christianizing. Because these non-Catholics, they're wicked men, objectively wicked men. They may think they're doing good. They're doing a lot of evil. The organized sharing of the earth and its riches, that is the basis of all good in the world. It's the way these men, that's the way these laymen think. And then Maestriani, the cardinal, says, this is the future, and this is what we've got to join in order to help influence, so that the church will then be part of the whole game at the end, of the great game at the end. The process, capital P, is the means by which the force does its work. For that reason, the process is a sacrosanct concept, a code word, if you like, for all of us who are true globalists. Sounds familiar? Globalism, and then the Antichrist. That is the understanding that Elihu Root left to us. That is the enduring blessing and legacy and responsibility that he left to all the quote-unquote wise men who have since followed in his footsteps, to all who are dedicated to the same ideal, unquote. So that's another page on the process. That's the mentality of these high-up churchmen. And they feel that they've got to get into this because they don't have the faith. They don't have a strong enough faith to say all of this globalism, all of this Calvinism, all of this Protestantism, all of this economics, all of these banks, all of this finances, it's baloney. I mean, you need a bit of banks and economics and money, but to think that that's going to be the core around which you will unite the world, and that economics is what makes the world tick, is nonsense. Economics isn't even secondary, it's tertiary. Politics is secondary, religion is primary. And these people are ultimately driven by an anti-religion. Elihu Root and the wise men and these leading Freemasons, they're all driven by an anti-religion, or a substitute religion.
Because it's a materialistic idea. You cannot unite Europe on a materialistic idea. Of course you can't. Ridiculous.
But they're doing it. I mean, you know, they're still trying to do it. And if Europeans go on moving away from God, then that's the only thing that will pull Europe together. It won't really pull Europe together, but that's what they try to make pull Europe together. Because Europeans hanker for this unity, which they lost when they lost the faith. When they lost the faith, they broke down. What you had originally was Catholic internationalism, which is the same thing, internationalism, which is Christendom. The old-fashioned word for it is Christendom. Then that broke down into nationalism. That was Protestantism. And then after Protestantism and the religious wars, then you had the emergence of the nations. One nation against the other nations, instead of all nations forming part of Christendom. I say, when you had Christendom, there were no real big wars amongst the nations. It's only when Catholicism broke down and you had the rise of nationalism, that's when you got, for instance, when French nationalism really rose up with Napoleon. The French went all over Europe and fought wars and killed hundreds of thousands of men and lost hundreds of thousands of men. And then nationalism, so then you get wars, you get bloody wars, so men then want to rebuild internationalism. But this time around, this is not very clear, I'm afraid, hold on. They want to rebuild the internationalism, but this time it's going to be, instead of Catholic internationalism, it's going to be Masonic internationalism. So you've got two parts in the process. It's the famous Masonic saying of solve, break down, and then coagula, put together again. Solve et coagula is Latin for break up or dissolve. Dissolve and coagulate, meaning break something to pieces, break something Catholic to pieces, and then put the pieces together again, but in a Masonic way. So it's a two-stage process. So you break down Christendom into the nations, and then you put the nations back together again into a new world order, which will be Masonic internationalism to replace Catholic internationalism. And that's what's happening now. The American
America, the United States, was used to help break down Catholic internationalism, for instance, the Austro-Hungarian Empire and so on. But now, American sovereignty is being broken down. It served its purpose to break down the Catholic way, but now American sovereignty is being broken down in its turn to make way for the New World Order. So it's Masons that were behind the sovereignty of America, and it's Masons that are now behind the breakdown of the sovereignty of America. Catholics love their country, but the Catholic word is rather patriotism. The love of the country. Patriotism, if you like the distinction between patriotism and nationalism, nationalism is not Catholic, and it's my nation, right or wrong. Patriotism is Catholic, and patriotism means loving my country, just which is part of the fourth commandment, like I meant to love my parents. A man who doesn't love the country in which he's born is not a natural man, he's an unnatural man. But every one of us is meant to love his country by the fourth commandment, we're bound to. But underneath God and never against God, with and for God. So that is, they're useful pages to understand, to help to understand Rome.